It was August of 1978 that Grace Bible had its first service in the Holiday Inn, which used to be located in Latham. I've pastored this church for 45 years, which is a testimony of God's grace and mercy. And why do I say that? Well, if you would go to your internet and ask this question, what is the dropout rate for ministers? The first answer that comes up is this. Whatever the reason, 70% of ministers in the Christian church drop out within the first 10 years. Another statistic says this. The average pastoral tenure is less than 4 years. Why such a high dropout rate? Well, humanly speaking, the internet says this. Many pastors, they feel lonely and isolated. They simply don't have any kind of support structure inside the church. And I'm sure if you were to ask those who have left the ministry, many would give you a very similar answer. In way too many churches, way too many parishioners find something wrong in their pastor to complain about, to focus on. If he has 5 children, he's got too many. Doesn't have any children, he's a bad example. That's why I had 1 boy and 1 girl, the perfect saint. Just fooling. If the pastor uses notes, he's just dry. If he preaches without notes, he's too shallow. If he drives an old car, he shames his congregation. If he drives a new car, he's lustful. If he doesn't preach against sin, well, he's just a compromiser. If he does preach against sin, he's judgmental. And on and on and on it goes. One might say, oh boy, our pastor's very energetic. But, I got those buts. Oh, our pastor's a great counselor. But, or how about this one? Our pastor's a great teacher, but he's not a preacher. As I began this ministry years and years ago, I heard this on several counts, several occasions. Individuals will say, yeah, he's a good teacher, but he's just not a preacher. And that confused me, I gotta tell you, because I'd read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, that the pastor teacher was one gift. So if I didn't have one, how did I have the other? And I certainly knew, I watched and observed, and I understood then that some define a preacher as someone who throws chairs around, walks down the aisle, getting somebody's face, jumps up on the pew. That was their idea of what a pastor preacher was. He's just too still. He's too calm. He's all right for teaching, but he's not a preacher. Well, as I read the Bible, I discovered it. Whether we're talking about God's leaders, whether we're talking about God's preachers, they all had different personalities. They didn't have the same personality. But I didn't fit into the mold as some perceive that a preacher ought to be. My admonition to this church is as follows. Instead of focusing on what the preacher does wrong, focus on what he does right, while at the same time assist him with his shortcomings. Illustration. As a new preacher and never having phonics, the names in the Bible, they were Hebrew and Greek to me. I mispronounce and still mispronounce a whole lot of Bible names. But I had in the church a couple who understood my plight, and they bought me a Bible, and now I have another one to replace it, but this one here's a little. But the Bible that they gave me had all the markings about how to pronounce, and that did cut down on a lot of my mispronunciations. But the point I'm making is that instead of looking at my fault and saying, woe is me, they came alongside of me. I said, well, listen, how can we help the pastor overcome this shortcoming? Oh, what if we get him a Bible like this? And they did. When I began my ministry, now some 45 years, I confess, I am not perfect, nor is the man who's about to replace me perfect. Come with me to the Gospel of John. John chapter 1. Oh, I wrestled on what to preach today. I looked at 1 Timothy. I was going to preach the whole book of 1 Timothy. Then I thought maybe 2 Timothy. That's a little shorter. And then I focused on maybe Titus. And then I was thinking maybe I'll preach all three. But then I saw this message, and I want to share with you. John chapter 1. Verses 6 through 8. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Now, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. What's the first thing that we read concerning John? Because what I want you to do, to the degree that you, Pastor Johnson, you parishioners, you ponder and you practice the truths of these verses, this ministry, by God's grace, by God's mercy, is going to blossom. And it's going to be free of many of the difficulties seen in today's churches. What are those first three principles? Well, take a look at it. What's the first one that you see? There was a man. John, you know what? He had human limitations. And if you can turn your neck around and see Pastor Johnson there in the back, you will see a man. You're not going to see a God. You're not going to see an angel. But you're going to see a created being, a human being just like you and me. There was a man. This could be said of every pastor. There are men with human limitations. Remember, as a man, Pastor Johnson, he has many faults and limitations. But again, that's true of every one of us. The Lord chose us with all our faults and with all our failures. I want you to look at this thought in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 with me, please. Keep your marker in John 1, but come with me to 1 Corinthians 1. He chose us with all our faults, with all our shortcomings, to do his work, not boasting in ourselves, but boasting in him. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Every time I read it, I just marvel. I'm going to begin reading with verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base thing, the low things of the world, and the things that are despised hath God chosen. yea, the things which are not. What? To bring to naught the things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, according as it is written, he that glory, let him glory in the Lord. But understand this very thing. God's chosen us. Faulty, frail, to be his children, to be his servants. I never cease to wonder why God has chosen me, nor should any of you. But knowing that we, and yes, Pastor Johnson is a man, let us, instead of criticizing him, come alongside of him and be helpful to this man. You must understand, Pastor Johnson does not have the strength of an ox. He doesn't have the wisdom of an owl or the heart of a lion, the industry of a beaver, the harmlessness of a dove, the gentleness of a sheep, or the vision of an eagle. And why doesn't he have all of these? Because he's not an animal. He's not a bird. He's a man. As a man, he cannot do everything to perfection. You will see some failures and shortcomings in his life. If he's not the greatest preacher teacher that you've ever heard, or the most compassionate counselor that you've ever sat under, or the finest administrator, all wrapped up in one person, then ask yourself, what can I do to help him and this ministry? We just got done through studying 1 Corinthians, and we ended with 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And in 1 Corinthians 16, we discovered that the primary ministry of a pastor, a minister, is that of edifying and evangelizing. Evangelizing and edifying. And we also discovered in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 that the primary ministry of the parishioners was to submit and to support the minister. Because your pastor is a man, he will need your prayers. He will need your encouragement. Where's his shortcomings? All right, come alongside of him. Help him in those areas. But let's go back now to John and see what else we can find about John in this passage. We read here now in John chapter 1, verse 6, that there was a man sent from God. Sent from God. He had divine authority. Although John, yes, and Pastor Johnson have human limitations, know this. They both have been set apart in that they are sent from God. You say, well, hold on. Let me just think about this for a moment, Pastor. Didn't we, a couple weeks ago, didn't we, the parishioners of Grace Bible Church, didn't we vote him in as our next pastor? And to that I would answer, yes, you did. Then I might ask you a question, why did you do that? Or we could ask you the question, how do we know when something has been ordained of God? How do you know when something has been ordained of God? When it comes to pass. When it comes to pass. Yes, we indeed did vote him in. But you must understand we did so because it had been ordained of God. And because it's been ordained of God, When we resist our pastor, who are we actually resisting, people? The Lord. Let's take a look at that just to remind us. Keeping your marker here, but going over to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Oh, he's a man, but he's son of God. Romans 13, look at verses 1 through 5 with me, please. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Why? Well, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist, oh, shall receive to themselves damnation. Why? Well, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou wilt do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, second time it said, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Because of Pastor Johnson's position, you and I are to show him respect and regard. Come with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And what do we read here in 1 Thessalonians? This is a passage that we've looked at in it's been within a month. But look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Trent read it to us this morning, but let's read it again. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Wherefore, he says this, I want you to comfort yourself together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And he says, we beseech you, brethren. He says, I want you to know them. That is to appreciate. I want you to appreciate them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So first he says, I want you to know them, appreciate them, respect them. And then he says in verse 13, I want you to esteem them, to regard them very highly in love, again, for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. You say, well, what if he sins? What if he has faults? What do we do? Well, you're to follow Matthew 18. Look what he says next. He says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them they're unruly. Okay. He says, I want you to comfort the feeble-minded. And then he says, I want you to support the weak. And of course, he says, yeah, oh, P.S., be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So you see how we are to minister one to another. And if that's not enough, look at the P.S., verse 16, rejoice evermore. Anything else? Oh, pray without ceasing. Anything else? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from the appearance of evil. Yeah? And what's going to be the end for a Grace Bible Church? Oh, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. But you and I are to show respect and regard towards Pastor Johnson. And if 1 Thessalonians is not enough admonition for you, turn over with me to Hebrews. Hebrews. the last book or chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13. We have these three admonitions given to the parishioners concerning the pastor, those who are ruling over them. You'll see the phrase "rule over you" in all three of these verses. Let's see what you're to do towards them. You ready? The first thing he says is remember them. The idea of remember them is the idea of the concept of serving them, ministering to their needs. Remember them, I'm in verse 7, Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them, which, there's our phrase, have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow concerning the end of their conversation. Watch their behavior, follow their behavior. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. So you'll be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. So remember them. Follow them. Follow Pastor Johnson's example. And along with that, look at verse 17. Same chapter, 13, 17. He says, obey them. First, remember them. Now, obey them, again, that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. And by the way, knowing the role that Pastor Johnson has over you, notice what he says, the author of Hebrews says. He says, pray for us. Pray for us. We trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Pray that those words that Pastor Johnson says and those actions that he does will be right in line with what God desires of him. And then thirdly, he says down in verse 24, salute them. Remember them, obey them, salute them. In other words, greet them. That have rule over you and over all the saints. So here we see, as we turn back to John, we see that he was a man. Pastor Johnson, he's a man. John was sent from God. Pastor Johnson has been sent from God. And therefore, we are to obey and submit and follow his godly ways. But there's a third principle that we can learn in these verses. And it's found in the following verses, verses 7. What was John's purpose in coming? What's Pastor Johnson's purpose here as head of Grace Bible Church? The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Oh, he was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Bear witness of the light. That's Pastor Johnson's calling. John came to preach Christ. He came to preach Christ, the light of the world. Pastor Johnson is a man sent of God. His mission is first and foremost to present Jesus Christ as the light. If this congregation will support this mission, this ministry will flourish. John's calling is the same calling for every pastor, and may I say for every parishioner. And that calling can be found in 1 Corinthians. Let's take a look at that, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What is the heart of our church? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The ministry that the Lord has given to Pastor Johnson and to each one of you is that of the ministry of reconciliation. We read now in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, these words. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's those of you who profess Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. That is, becoming new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself, and he did so by Jesus Christ, and he hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and he's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God has wonderfully given to us, this church, the ministry of reconciliation, and he's given to us the word of reconciliation. There may be times that you will get upset with Pastor Johnson. Remember your ministry. Reconciliation. And remember that Pastor Johnson, your ministry is that of reconciliation. As long as you keep that first and foremost in your mind and heart, people, there will be harmony here at Grace Bible Church. Remember, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ that be ye reconciled to God. For he, that is God, has made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You go. If somebody's been offended with you, Matthew 5, you go. If you're upset with somebody, Matthew 18, you go. Pastor Baker gave us a great message this morning on forgiveness, forbearance and forgiveness. And maintain that spirit of not only being quick to forgive, but being quick to seek forgiveness. Pastor Johnson's calling is to bear witness of the light. And you have to be careful that other things don't crutch that out. I remember when I first came in the area, we were looking for a place. Where were we going to? First it was a Holiday Inn, then it was a Key Bank, then it was up in our apartment for 2 years. Then it was at different places. Finally, we came here. But a lot of my time was spent looking around. And it could have an effect, and it did have an effect, because at that time, I was preaching all four messages. Because the church is young, we didn't have any men trained. Now we got three pastors now in the church. What a blessing. Who'd ever thunk it? But, you know, it's what you're thinking, the aspect is, it's so easy to get caught up in the menial task and to forget the primary task of preaching Christ, the light of the world. So I give you that charge today. Don't forget your primary calling. Let me share a few verses out of Acts chapter 6 as a reminder of this, Pastor Johnson. It says this: and in those days when the number of the disciples were multitude, verse 1, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians among the Hebrews. Why? Because the widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. You got to learn how to delegate. You can't do everything. So you'll have to delegate. I was so blessed that I'd have a man called Bryce Wade, and Craig did a lot of downstairs woodworking. And I had men like Denny Orshan, Don Parker, headed up the building. I didn't even have to think about that. I had a plumber who did the plumbing. And I had someone do the tin knocking. and others come alongside. But I did the tearing down. I was pretty good at doing tearing down. I was just talking to Gene Doten is in rehab, and he and I would do the jackhammering because we were strong backs, weak minds. And so we did all the jackhammering. And I remember one time we had a wall downstairs, and I've got the jackhammer like this up here holding it, and he's driving it, and it gets on this nerve right here, and my arm goes dead. And Gene can't hear it anyway, so I'm hollering, Gene, turn it off. I can't, but my arm's dead. But we got it down, and I got my arm back to thing. But those are, you know, but the point I'm saying is that I had men who stepped forward. I got to tell you, you know, I mentioned about the aspect of pastors feeling lonely and without. I never had that. Not because I had families like Joe and Bonnie. They'd come from another church. And that, whatever, there were some things that weren't right, but they taught them how to be servants to their pastor. And I remember them, one of the cars we had, that they were instrumental in getting that around. Remember that? That what was that, Pontiac, I think, some gray Pontiac. Had a big old bow on it when I after church service. What I'm saying is that I've been blessed. And I've been blessed because of the people God's put around me. Hearts of servants. I'm just saying, keep on keeping on. Just as you have served me and served me faithfully over the years, and thereby serving the Lord, continue to do so with Pastor Johnson. He's a man, so he's got some shortcomings. But he's sent of God, and his mission is to be the light, spread the light of Jesus Christ. So as much as you can, free him up to do those tasks. I'll close with just this passage here. Come with me to 2 Timothy. I know this is one of Pastor Johnson's favorite passages, so, but it does verify what is his calling, what's his responsibilities, and I want you to see it as we close out here. Paul, he's given a charge to Timothy. I was thinking about a transition here between myself and Pastor Johnson, and I thought about the mantle. You know, when Elijah, he got done with his ministry, he got caught up in that whirlwind, and his mantle fell off, and guess who picked it up? Elijah. First thing he did is struck the water, and it parted to Jordan. And he walked across. Others saw that the power of Elijah now rested on Elisha. So I was thinking, maybe I'd get a mantle, some kind of mantle. We don't wear mantles. So then I thought, well, with Paul, the mantle he put on Timothy was the word and prayer. I said, well, I can do that. I can do that. He says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out season. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Now listen to this, with long suffering. Yeah, you got some patience. And doctrine, keep it in the word. Why do this, Pastor Johnson? Well, the time's going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They're going to, after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned into fables. It's important you keep preaching the word of God. He says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. There will be some afflictions. Do the work of the evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. And Paul says this, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. We show that we love our Lord's appearing by doing his works as we wait. But you see, your primary calling, Pastor Johnson, is to preach the Word of God. Preach Christ as the light of the world. And when Pastor Johnson comes seeking your help, or you see he has some needs, come alongside of him. Come alongside of him. Help him. Do the menial task that he can fulfill his calling of being of bearing the witness of that light. And there was a man from God whose name was John. And he came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. At this time, I'm going to ask Pastor Johnson to bring his family right up here to the front row, if you would please. Front and center. And I'm going to ask if our deacons, and Craig, if you'll join us here for prayer over this family. I'd like to have you come forward. You're right, sit right down there if you would, gang. We're going to have prayer over you. And we're praying for the whole family, because I know the whole family needs it, just as our family needed it. Frank, I'm going to ask you to pray for the kids, the children. And Trent, if you will pray for Denise, all right? And Pastor Baker, come on over here. I want you to pray for Pastor Jim Johnson, all right, if you'll pray for his ministry. And I'll just add a P.S. All right. Go ahead and pray.
Dear Lord, there's speak of why me, or why you've chosen any of us, why you've called any of us. And we were talking about that on the way here this morning, Lord. The pastor reminds us many times, it's why doesn't God save everybody? But why do you save anyone at all?
Yeah.
And Lord, I just marvel, Lord. I know when I was young, before I got married, and when Lonnie and I got married, we bounced around a couple of churches, and we look back and see that we've been in this same fellowship for some 22, 23 years, Lord. And Lord, we marvel. I marvel at that, Lord. And Lord, you've given us a framework. I was drinking coffee yesterday morning and reading our church constitution. And Lord, I'm convicted that I haven't, you know, perceived or just reached out in the ways that you've given direction, Lord. And so I repent of that, and I will do better at that, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for this family, the young ones here, Lord, and you gave me the grace and the opportunity a few years ago to teach many Sunday school classes, and I just think of these young ones here, first Zach and Olivia and Emmy and Wesley, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just give them a spirit of grace, and I heard a couple of times this morning the word obedience. Lord, we all need more of that, and I pray for their hearts and spirits, Lord, that they would be obedient to their parents, Lord, and Lord, when they've fallen short, that they would confess and forsake. Help us all, Lord, to do the same. And Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, and it's by your grace. figure the book of Romans and music I've been listening to this past week, Lord. It's all by your grace that you have saved us and that we are even here. And Lord, we just pray that that would be our staple, that we would fellowship in that all the time, Lord. And as Pastor reminded us that that our job here is to be witnesses to the light. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to do so, Lord. And we just thank you for this beautiful day. And we just thank you for the 45 years that you've given the Beckwoods to have charge and to persevere through this ministry. And Lord, I ask this in your holy and precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful again for this opportunity. We are grateful for Denise and her training, oh Lord, her preparation that you've had for her over these years. It's neat, Lord, to see the qualities you've given Denise.
Yep.
Very similar. Qualities of my mother, and how she faithfully served my dad and the church. And Lord, we just pray that that same power will be on Denise as she serves Jim in our church and her family. Oh, Lord, we're just grateful that we've had the blessing of seeing Denise grow up in the church. At least I have, Lord.
Yep.
And just the training from her parents, from Dottie, and just a true servant. And just give her patience, Lord. She deals with all of us and her children. And Lord, just help us, as Dad says, we're to submit and serve and salute, embrace, that we will be always friendly to Denise, Lord.
Amen.
Always
warm.
I know in our house, my mom was a little bit more sensitive than my dad. And at times she would pick up on things. And my dad was sometimes clueless. Lord, we just pray for the same level of discernment for Denise.
Yeah.
That she will just be a true partner in the ministry. And again, we're just thankful in Jesus' name.
Our Heavenly Father, our Lord God, we thank you for the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God today. Thank you from the example that we saw through John the Baptist and his ministry for Christ. We do pray for Pastor Jim today. We know, Lord God, it was not an accident that he met Denise in South Carolina. It was not an accident that they married. It was not an accident that they came here to this church, but that they were sent by God. So we pray that we would be faithful to them, to the ministry that they show us, that, Lord, we would be obedient, we would follow the scriptures with humility and truth. I remember many years ago, Lord, teaching that I said that Diana would be a missionary's wife and Denise would be a pastor's wife. What a blessing to see these things come true. I pray for Pastor Jim that you give him clarity of thought, clarity of mind, wisdom from the Word of God, the ability to know when to speak or when to keep silent, the ability to know when to minister or to pass on the ministry to someone else, one of his deacons or one of the members of the church. We thank you for his silent ministry here over the years. Sometimes we have not appreciated him the way we need to, but we do thank you that he's remained. He's continued to be faithful, and that now he's looking forward to a greater role. Thank you for his ministry and the ministry of the family. Bless them in only the way that they can, and help us support them, we ask, in Christ's name.
Oh, Heavenly Father, my heart is so full of gratitude. As I was preaching this morning, I was looking out and looking at different families represented here, and thinking about the number of years that they have labored here at Grace Bible Church. Lord, it's a testimony of your great grace and mercy to the faithfulness of this church body. So many, have been with us for so many years. I stand up here with these men. Frank spoke of 20 years. Craig, 40 years. Son, 50 years. Jim, 20 years. All these men. Lord, I've seen them go, and I've seen them come back. And what a blessing, Lord, it has been to me. I'm so thankful for the small role that I've been able to play in these men's lives. I'm so thankful for the role that these people represented here today have done in my life. And I especially thank you today, Lord, for my bride of some 57 years. Lord, what a testimony. And I, too, like my son, see qualities in Denise that emulate my wife. And, Lord, I just pray a very special blessing upon her as she ministers here at Grace Bible Church. I'm thankful, Lord, the fact that my ministry is not done, but now I can take a little easier and show allegiance to Pastor Johnson, show a submissive spirit to the others, as how can one who has been head for 45 years now submit to the younger? Oh, Lord, I pray that that witness would be a good witness of your grace and mercy as we continue to serve here with these God-sent people. And I would close with just giving thanks for Pastor Johnson. Lord, 20 years of just watching him grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Lord, we thank you that your timing is perfect. And we look forward to ministering alongside of Pastor Johnson. Lord, bless him, bless his wife, bless his children. Oh, Lord, keep them all faithful to you, even until you should come. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. 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 I'd like to have you and the family go to the back and receive the congregation as a, go back. Let's stand. I'll give a word of thanksgiving for the meal that we're about to partake of. Remember, you say, well, I didn't bring anything. It's all right. You brought yourself. We've got the food downstairs for you. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this glorious time. We thank you again for your mercy and grace that you've shown on us. We thank you, Lord, for just who you are. And we thank you, Lord, for our calling. Scratching our heads as we think about it once again, why you called us. Lord, we are so thankful that we've had these opportunities to serve you. May you continue to give us the courage. May you continue to give us the stamina to keep on keeping on. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. And, Lord, we give thanks for the physical nourishment that we're about to partake of and the fellowship to follow. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.